Today's program is brought to you by TechServe. For more information, visit techserve.com.
Let's go out to eat and get some meat. Turkey and jam, macaroni and ham. Say, do you like steak? I can surely make. If you hear me now, sing it loud.
You're listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm back for another week of radio broadcasting to you from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And today I'm joined by author of the new cookbook, Mr. Sunday's Saturday Night Chicken, Lorraine Wallace. Lorraine, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hi, good evening, Helen. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing?
We're doing great here in D.C.
How's the weather over there? Is it warm?
It's beautiful.
Perfect weather for chicken, perhaps?
Yes, it is perfect weather for chicken.
So tell me, how did the cookbook come about in the first place?
Well, my husband does not like change. Chris Wallace of Fox News Sunday, he had, after about three times on Sunday, asking him about 10 years ago, what would you like for your Sunday meal to make you feel good? Because he gets up at 5 a.m. in the morning on Sunday and has to be on call. If anything would happen in the world, he'd have to go in at 1 in the morning. And I said, what would you like? And he said, you know, let's stick to chicken. And so I had like three chicken recipes, just like everyone else out there. And I thought, wow, this is really bad. If I have to stay home, be on call, I've got to learn more about chicken. So I have 100 recipes in the book with 35 of our vegetarian sides, and because we have a vegetarian daughter. And it's hard to please everyone. And I learned that chicken is so versatile. I mean, it is like a blank canvas to a painter, to a cook. It is just so easy. I mean, you can pound it, grill it, barbecue it, roll it. I mean, you can do anything. Butterfly it. It's just a wonderful, very easy ingredient.
So tell me about your background. Have you always been kind of into home cooking? And, you know, what were you eating growing up?
Well, I think like most people in the 50s or, you know, 60s and 70s, you know, things were casseroles and that kind of stuff. But when I got married and was young, I had young children, and I started, like, doing my own baby food, and I had a vegetable garden that we planted in a pumpkin patch and asparagus patch, and we'd go to the orchards and, you know, buy local because I was a rider. We lived in Middleburg, Virginia. And it was just wonderful to, you know where your food was coming from and that I was giving nourishment. And then when I moved to the city to live with Chris, we combined six children. Yes, six. We were the Wallace group. And we had a lot of schools, like three or four schools, and I would drive from 2:30 in the afternoon till 10, 11 o'clock at night, and on weekends even later. We would, you know, and we would split our weekends. And it was always really important to me, no matter if it was at 10 in the morning that I was starting a braise or and tossing a salad in the fridge with some green beans that could be steamed, that we all sat down together, even if it was 20 minutes, just to sit down and listen to everybody around the table. Because, you know, children and families, and even now we're empty nesters, we learn to cope that way. We get to share the experiences of the day, and young children especially, I feel, you know, there's a lot of bullying or things that go on that's not good, and there's things that are really great. There's great achievements that you want to share with your family, and that was a way to get my family around the table, was a quick and simple meal. So in the cookbook, it's organized by the season, and then also it has a big glossary called Chicken 101, which talks about the different cuts that you can purchase today. I mean, it used to be that you'd have to pound every one of your chicken breasts, but you can buy cutlets, or you can buy boneless chicken thighs, boneless chicken, skinless chicken thighs. You can. There's so many cuts today that are really available if you don't, if you're pressed for time. And then also about temperatures. I used to always overcook my chicken. I think a lot of people do that because they're worried about salmonella or something. And really, it's just a fun book, and we have a Friends and Family, which features some local chefs here in Washington, and then the vegetables at the end. So it's really, it's a cute, cute story into our life, and every recipe has a story.
So you've got some really wonderful advice in the book about different ways to select a chicken, because that can be something a little bit daunting in grocery stores for people. And can you give us a few of those tips?
Well, one of the things is every chicken is basically raised on a farm, unless you're in Manhattan and raising it on a rooftop. But you can do that. But all chickens are farm-raised. So you'll see, you know, farm-raised chicken, and it's kind of a bogus thing. And I think basically what you want to look out for chicken is, everybody says, okay, organic, it's more expensive. But not really. Locally grown chickens, I mean, look where you can go that's local and get a good source at a farm stand, or, you know, there's a lot of farm markets these days, or a local butcher. And, you know, it might cost a little more, but you know that the animal was raised a certain way, and you have a good feeling about that. But also, you know that it's not enhanced with a salt water solution to add water, for instance. Or, you know, and a free-range chicken is great. They eat nothing but grass and the bugs in the grass. But they're a little lighter and a little smaller, so maybe you'd, like, use them for butterflying a chicken to, like, do it in the stovetop summer chicken.
And you reference some heritage breeds of chickens. Do you have any favorites?
Well, I don't know what favorites I have. I do have a favorite farm. Ayrshire Farm in Upperville, Virginia, raises heritage breeds. And the heritage means that it's the closest to the original origin of the breed back to the Indians. So it's like, it's really like the bloodline is continuing. And they're just beautiful. When you go to the farm and see them, they're just so beautiful, and they really taste good.
Absolutely. Well, tell me about the process of what it was like to cook all these chicken recipes, because at a certain point, I mean, it must have been, you must have had a billion types of chicken in your fridge.
Well, I don't do it all at once. I collected these recipes over about an 8-year period. My first book, Mr. Sunday Soups, was a New York Times bestseller, and that book was an inspiration because my guy doesn't like change, and therefore he gets up at 5, comes home around 11:15, and because I had all these children, and some of them were playing baseball and soccer and acting and drama and singing and dancing and whatever, we'd have soup at 11:30, and then I would head out the door, and he would go upstairs with the newspapers in our beautiful dog, Winston, and have a nap for about 3 hours, and then I'd come home and everything would be awry and have to start again. But anyway, but so at the same time is when I started doing chicken. So my kitchen on a Saturday can be like a little bit of, because we're locked in, like a lab. You know, it's like a pot of soup is bubbling over there or being tested, and then the chicken's being tested or two. And it's a lot of fun. It's just a lot of fun to do that. And then now we have children in the workforce, and so they handed down their 2x2. So they took 2 chicken breasts, and we all tested them together. And some of them didn't make the cut. And they would take one and have it for dinner when they come home hungry and tired in less than 30 minutes with most stuff that's right in your spice drawer and a few pantry ingredients. And the next one, they could pop on their salad the next day and take to lunch.
So tell me about some of your favorite recipes in the book.
Now, how can I tell you that, Helen? They're all my babies. but I can tell you that Mr. Sunday, a.k.a. Chris Wallace's favorite is the unfried chicken. It's the herb buttermilk unfried chicken, and that is baked. And the secret there to make it golden is that it's in a beautiful herb bath with herbs and spices, and you can kick it up as hot as you want, and you can let it soak for as long as you want in the refrigerator, and then you roll it in cornflakes and just a little drizzle of butter, and suddenly you have beautiful, perfect coated fried chicken with a little less of the guilt.
That sounds so delicious. You're making me hungry. And
so good.
I am so curious to know, how did you, where did you pull from inspiration for these recipes?
From everyone and everywhere. I mean, Chris does marvel at me. I will go into a garden and see an herb garden and say, oh, I'm going to go home and just do this herb, you know, pasta, or and we have a little bit of chicken left over, or sometimes, can you hear me, Ari?
Yes.
Okay. We would, you know, you buy a rotisserie chicken and you have half of it, or you roast the chicken and you have half of it left, and I would, you know, just take it and shred it and suddenly make a quiche. So... yeah, everywhere and everyone. Friends, sometimes you go to a friend's house and you have dinner and you go, what's in this? And then suddenly I have a friends and family chapter that has chefs in the Washington area that they've shared, like Chef Art Smith of Art and Soul and Table 52 and Life in California. He was Oprah's former chef. He has given us two recipes. One is his famous fried chicken that you double batter and double egg and soak and do all this stuff. And then he gave us a simple cutlet one that you do that has, like, no calories that you bake.
We are going to take a really quick break, but when we get back, we have more from Lorraine Wallace. You're listening to You Look Hungry. Stay tuned.
I need a new computer. I guess I'm going to have to go to the Apple Store.
What? Don't go to the Apple Store. Go to TechServe.
What's TechServe? I thought Apple Store was the only choice.
No, you're crazy. TechServe is so much better than the Apple Store. They're New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. Plus, the store is really cool. You got to go check it out. They're located at 119 West 23rd Street.
Well, that settles it. I'm headed to TechServe.
TechServe is a proud sponsor of HeritageRadioNetwork.org. For more information, visit TechServe.com. That's TechServe.com.
If you're just tuning in, you are listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm still your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm joined today by Lorraine Wallace, author of the fantastic new cookbook called Mr. Sunday's Saturday Night Chicken. Before the break, we were discussing chicken and how this book came about. And what I'd love to kind of segue into is tell me about where you love to eat in Washington, D.C.
Well, of course, I love going to Art and Soul, which is right down by the Capitol. And Chef Art has a wonderful bib lettuce salad. And at lunchtime, he has one little piece of his fried chicken with a little bit of mashed potatoes and some collard greens. Another thing we do is, because my husband works on the weekend, we try to go to a movie in Georgetown, and afterwards we will go like to a late afternoon movie, like 4:30 or so, and we go to Martin's Tavern. And Martin's Tavern is where John F. K. proposed to Jacqueline Bouvier.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and it's like an old tavern, and it's a local favorite, and it's just really wonderful. And another one is Chef Luigi here near DuPont Circle, who is close to our home. We walk over, and he has the most beautiful fish that he just grills with olive oil, and then he gets some, you know, steamed spinach, and it's just so healthy with a nice arugula salad. Of course, you can get all the truffles and pasta and veal shanks and stuff you want, too.
Tell me about, you've got a vegetarian in the family.
Yes.
Tell me about, just pick one recipe that maybe you guys are eating a lot right now in the summertime from the book, and maybe what their favorite dish is as well.
I would have to say it's quinoa salad. It is so funny. I think we use the quinoa base all through the year for a lot of things. And quinoa is an ancient grain, and it's basically protein. So you don't feel guilty eating it, and it feels good when you're doing it. But in the summer or towards spring on through about October, it just has a little bit of cucumber and a little pepper and a little purple onion, and it's a nice lemony dressing, and it's just so much fun and has, you know, some parsley, and it's just very simple to make, and it makes a lot, a ton, and it's just great. I mean, we keep that in the refrigerator. That's like summer gazpacho to us. And my son, who has just graduated from Rhodes College in Memphis, Tennessee, he was a big right-hand pitcher for them for 4 years and a good student. It's a very academic school. He calls it his stir-fried rice.
That sounds amazing. Well, so are there any, without giving too much away from the book, because obviously everybody should go out and check it out for themselves, but are there any tips that you would like to share with listeners out there that you kind of learned through this process of, you know, exploring
soup and chicken?
Yes.
And cooking and bringing your family together. You know, don't be afraid of a recipe. Don't be afraid of a chef. Anytime you want to make something, if you don't have a red pepper, use a green one. The taste is not going to change. Taste it. Get your family involved. Enjoy it. I mean, that is the most important thing that you can do. And that's how you become a better cook, is just by, you know, tasting and testing and letting everybody around. I mean, you have young children, get them involved and core the apples and put it in the Cuisinart or wherever you're doing and cook them down or quarter them and boil them in a little water with a cinnamon stick and then let them cool and puree it and let them help you put it and put their fingers in. I mean, part of cooking is just about experiencing, and I think that's what I would say.
Now, there's no wine pairings or cocktails in the book, but is there anything that you love to pair your recipes with, beverage-wise?
No, we don't drink that much, but if we do, we're kind of teetotalers, but, you know, I probably drink a little more than Mr. Sunday does. I have a little bit of white wine, a light wine, or a rosé. I love rosé at this time of year. It's just really nice to have a little glass of really chilled rosé. I think it's fun, especially outside. Or my daughters love margaritas, and they love sangrias, and they'll make white sangrias, and I enjoy it when they do it. I just don't do it.
So what is on the horizon for you? Are you working on a new cookbook, or have you...
Well, I don't know. Right now, we're finishing construction on our kitchen. So after August 15th, I would have an answer for that.
So, yeah, that must be a little tricky in terms of preparing foods. Are you...
No, we moved out because the kitchen... We live in a house that's from the 1920s, and we could not live in there because some beams had to go in and stuff. So I'm learning to cook on an electric top stove. So maybe that's the next cookbook.
That's the next cookbook inspiration. Yeah, absolutely.
That's very difficult, by the way.
Well, so, you know, other than chicken, what are you excited about for summertime in terms of any kind of culinary possibilities?
Well, it's just a time of abundance. I mean, the lettuces, and, you know, right now we are seeing some corn, but it's mostly corn from Florida and tomatoes from Florida. But, I mean, as we get to August and September, I mean, the tomatoes are just going to be beautiful, and the heirloom tomatoes, and, I mean, it's just a time of really sweet, wonderful taste, you know, like the seafood is good, the tomatoes are good, the corn's good, the peaches are good, the cherries. I mean, all of the seasonal things that we love are about now until about November. And then it gets, you know, then we go into our dried legumes and things. So this is a very exciting time. Plant some plants, enjoy it, you know, it's fun.
This is a cookbook released under one of my favorite cookbook, publishers, Wiley. Where can people locate the cookbook?
Well, I have a website, mrssunday.com, and I also, of course, your local bookstore, please support them. They need the most help in stores, and then amazon.com.
Are there any videos we can look forward to seeing you in online where, you know, you're giving advice on chicken?
Well, I'm going to be speaking at the museum on the 24th of Sunday, the 24th, with my husband at 2:30 in the afternoon, and we'll be signing books. And that's about it right now.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show. And
thank you, Holly.
Yes, absolutely. And thanks,
Helen. Sorry, Helen.
And thank you to Joe Galarraga and Jack Inslee and the rest of the crew at Heritage Radio Network and Roberta's. Please go ahead and check it out. It's Mr. Sunday's Saturday Night Chicken. It's pretty delicious. I've already tried out a couple of the recipes, and my friends were super impressed. So thank you, Lorraine.
Thank you, Helen.
And I will see all of you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.